Welcome to The Awakened Homeowner. Thinking about a new home or remodel, but feeling lost in a maze of decisions? You're in the right place. I'm William Reed, and for over three decades, I've coordinated the design and construction of hundreds of remodel and new home projects. I know the process can feel overwhelming, but trust me, you can do this. Here, we break it all down step by step so you can feel confident, empowered, and even excited about your project. No stress, no guesswork, just the guidance you need to bring your dream home to life. Let's dive in. All right, everybody. Bill Reed here with The Awakened Homeowner, and I'm continuing on my mission for this year to bring in some guests to the show, and I've been fortunate to bring back one of my colleagues from my past, my general contracting past, and I'm going to introduce you to him in a minute, but we are about to get into some really fun details that are going to help you as a homeowner, frankly, be a better homeowner when it comes to dealing with contractors. Let me ask you something. Have you ever gotten three bids on a project and picked the lowest one and then watched the whole thing unravel? That may have happened to you, but I bet you it's happened to one of your friends at least. Here's the reality. That's not really a coincidence. And here's something nobody tells you when you start getting bids on a project. Every contractor who walks through your door before they've said a single word to you, they're already really reading you. They're picking up signals from how you talk, what you ask, how you're prepared, and how you treat the process. And based on what they see, they're making decisions. They're making decisions about how seriously to take your project, about whether they even want the job, about how much effort to put into that proposal. Does that sound a little backwards? But that's really what's going through our minds as contractors, because we have to invest a ton of time into a project before we see one dime. Most homeowners approach hiring a contractor completely backwards, gathering as many bids as possible, guarding their budget like it's classified information, shopping ideas from every firm they talk to, and they think that's being smart. But from where a contractor sits, those behaviors are big red flags. They signal a difficult client, a low-value project, and honestly, they make great contractors walk away. Today, we're flipping the script and going inside the contractor's mind. We're going to talk about the bidding trap, what your behavior is signaling without even knowing it, and what you can do starting with your very first conversation to attract great contractors and get their absolute best work. I know this sounds a little odd, but this is what's going on behind the scenes. And I promised you when I wrote this book and when I began this episode that I'm going to pull back the veil of all different kinds of veils. And we're going to really help you understand when you're standing there in front of a contractor. My guest today is Enrique Guzman, principal designer and owner of Contexto Landscape Design Build. Based right here on the California Central Coast, Enrique is a Cal Poly San Luis Obispo graduate who has built his firm around a design build philosophy, meaning he doesn't just hand you a set of drawings and wish you luck. He leads projects from the very first concept, conversations all the way through construction completion. His specialty is modern, sustainable outdoor spaces that feel like they genuinely belong to the land and the people who live there, rooted in the local environment, the architecture, and the life happening inside that home. So what makes Enrique the perfect guest for this conversation is that he brings both sides of the table. And this is one of the reasons I'm really excited, because although Enrique does offer design services only, and that is a big part of his business, even when he only does design work, he still keeps his eye on the ball during the course of the project, but he also offers construction. So that goes back to that design build business model that we've talked about in recent past, about some different paths that you as a homeowner have. You can go the conventional path, hiring separate designers and separate contractors, or you can handle one entity to handle the whole thing. And he does it both. So we're going to get some good perspective there. He's had thousands of contractor client conversations, and today he's going to tell you the truth about what contractors are really thinking. And I'll probably chime in too. Enrique, welcome to The Awakened Homeowner. Take it away.
Thank you, Bill, for having me. It's been a pleasure working with you over the last couple of years, a few years, and working with you was a privilege, honestly, because I always looked to you as a teacher. And even now, as years have passed by, I look back to all those opportunities, all those projects that we worked on to lean in on your expert knowledge. I just wanted to, first of all, thank you for that. And yeah, I'm very excited about being transparent and speaking from a point of humility, because this business that we're in is a beautiful and wonderful profession. And to be selected to design a project is such an honor. It really is. It's just such an honor to be able to go on that journey with the homeowner, design it and build it. And so, yeah, I'm very excited about discussing some of the topics we have in mind for today.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah. We've worked together on past projects when I was doing projects in Northern California, the Silicon Valley area. And I remember you starting your own business and asking a lot of questions about the design process and the construction process. And now it's been many years later, and you've been, you have an active practice right there in San Luis Obispo, down all kinds of paths with different customers. So that, I think that's a really good segue into our first question. And remember, everybody, a lot of it's going to revolve around how you as a homeowner will approach a contractor. And it's going to be coming from whether you're hiring a designer only or a contractor only, or you might be hiring one company to do both. So the questions will be a mixture of design related and construction related. Mm-hmm. You know, homeowners often start with a misconception that they really need to gather as many bids as possible to get the best deal. And what I think everybody needs to understand is, what's the real cost of excessive bidding to a project's quality? And that's kind of an interesting question. What does bidding have to do with the quality of the project? And how does a quality contractor react when they find out they are one of five or six bidders, or maybe even more? We know, let's get into our head, your head and my head, and talk about this. Because when a homeowner goes out and gets a bunch of bids, let's talk about why we think they even do that to begin with.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's an excellent topic of choice. I think that a lot of homeowners are under the pretense that they should actually be getting as many bids as possible, because they want to be, number one, they want to be educated. They want to be able to find a competitive pricing. And the more bids you have, then you have a better understanding of maybe, you know, the actual cost of a project. It's challenging as a contractor. My experience, and this happens not often, but it does happen, where we get projects where we're bidding on a project that a client will share, hey, somebody let you know that I am meeting with other competitors, and you know, you're the third person I've met, and I have maybe four or five other competitors. And the kind of mindset that it puts me on is that, number one, it's just potentially a red flag. You know, I think if we're going to be serious about this conversation, I think a red flag is something that maybe pops up, not in the sense that this particular client maybe somebody hard to work with, but more from the perspective of like, gosh, it's I'm going to put in so much time into bidding this project, you know, and a typical project, depending on the scope, it could take me anywhere between 2 to 3 hours to bid the project, right? 2 to 3 hours to look at it. I got to do some research, maybe budget an hour or so to meet with the client. And so there's a time element of how much time and investment goes into the project. Now, if I know that the client is it may be getting two bids or three bids, then as a contractor, I know that my chances of closing a project are much higher, right? So I don't mind bidding on a project where there's two or three competitors. But if there's five or six competitors, the opportunity for me to close a project is diminished. And so I'm looking at it from like, man, my chances of closing that project are definitely reduced because of it.
That's right. That's right. I mean, I the things that come to my mind is, you know, you say 2 to 3 hours for landscaping business. I would argue that I could spend 100 hours bidding a complex custom home construction project, maybe even more, right? I mean, and when you're quote unquote bidding a project, contractors don't get paid to bid projects. So, So my objective as a contractor is to understand who this client is and what, honestly, what type of client they are. Because if they really are getting six bids, to me, that immediately tells me the odds of them just trying to find the least expensive bid is probably at the top of their list or really, really close, right? And it's human nature to, you know, if they get six bids, And all of a sudden, one pops in that's low. All of a sudden, this fog starts to come around that homeowner and they're like, oh, wow, this is really good. Maybe I'll put up with, you know, the guy, the fact that the guy's not licensed, or maybe I'll put up with the fact that I heard a few things that maybe they weren't that great, but I could manage them. I could deal with it. I've experienced this with past clientele or ex-clientele or prospective clientele. Well, they actually did that. They actually talked themselves into selecting the least expensive contractor, knowing that there might be an issue to begin with. Mm-hmm. I mean, that sounds crazy. And here's the funny part is I don't think people really realize that they're doing that, right? So, you know, as a homeowner, I think you have to really think about what's really important to you. And I think we're probably going to talk about that in one of the next questions. But you know, going back to that question, it's like, what does excessive bidding do to the actual quality of the project? And to me, what it does is it diminishes the quality of the project if that homeowner is in on the hunt for the cheapest bid, because the cheapest guy is probably not the best quality.
No, not at all. Not at all. And you know this, I used to work at other design build firms even before I started my own practice. And I remember having conversations with my old bosses, and they used to always say they would run into clients that actually took them down that journey, where they were bidding against four or five other contractors and ultimately chose the lowest bidder, right? This hasn't actually happened to me, but I remember it happening to my fellow colleagues, and they would just tell me that those people would reach out, those clients would reach out and be like, man, I wish I had hired your company, because the company I wound up hiring, they didn't actually install a project correctly, and it wound up costing us more money. Now I'm having to have them come back and do it, or they've gone to hire another licensed contractor to do it correctly. So these things do actually happen when you don't properly vet the contractor, and if you're only looking for the cheapest bid, then these are the kind of things that could happen.
For sure. So I think as a homeowner, you really need to think about, you know, what's really important to you. And that's before you start calling, you know, 10 different people to come bid your project. Which leads me into the next question. I just mentioned that a client or a homeowner, you really must decide who they are before seeking a contractor. There's a certain amount of reciprocity here, right? I mean, you're trying to sell me as a homeowner, but I'm also trying to find the right person that's going to meet my expectations. We can't forget that you as a homeowner have got these high hopes. You've got these inspiration images all over the place. You've shared them to several different people. And one of the things you have to decide is, how much value do you put in meeting your expectations? So the question I would pose to both of us is, what does it mean for a homeowner to define their own type? And why is it a contractor's mission to figure out a client's type to avoid the frustration of expecting Mercedes-Benz quality on a Toyota Corolla budget? So that's, I think, another topic of conversation that we can open up. And what do we mean by helping a homeowner figure out who they are, what's important to them?
I think a lot of that has to do with pre-qualifying questions and really understanding a client's needs just from the get-go. We get clients of all types, and we've been fortunate to work on projects of all scales, whether it's a client that wants to maybe add a couple pots in their front yard to a major remodel or even new construction. But I think that like having a really good understanding of number one, the process, right? What is the process going to look like? A consultant will probably be involved in a project like that. Having a minor understanding of construction and just the constraints of construction, because there's so many variables in construction, right? I mean, if you're doing a small planting design, then I would say probably most landscape companies, at least in my industry, would be able to do, you know, install a landscape project, just planting design. But if we're talking about a pergola, modern steel pergola, or something a little bit more complex, like a fireplace that we're actually working on right now, built-in fireplace with a gas burner, and it's so if there's more, or a barbecue line, things that require far more time, And I think you should have a somewhat of a understanding that there's more of those constraints require more time. And so you probably would be working with a licensed, insured, bonded, a vetted contractor that has a great reputation that, you know, really is going to focus on those details to provide the higher quality of project. So, yeah.
I totally agree. You know, it's... we talked about the previous question. We talked about, you know, kind of when a contractor first meets a homeowner, or when a homeowner first meets a contractor in that first, you know, few minutes. What you just talked about is a lot of contractors are trying to figure you out as a homeowner, right? We're trying to figure you out to understand what you value, meaning what type of client are you? Do you just value price? Is that why you're getting six bids? So you're going to have contractors asking you questions about your project, about the details of the project, to try to figure out how invested you are in the actual project, the actual design. Suppose you already have a design and you're having a contractor look at your plans to bid the process. If you're just going to hand a contractor a set of plans and say, give me a price, and you don't want to talk about it, that's a big red flag for a contractor. That means that you're not really interested. All you're doing is shopping. And frankly, this is why a lot of contractors never call you back as a homeowner. I know people get frustrated with that, but if that's really what you're doing, is you're out there, you know, pummeling contractors to get bids, that's who you are. That's the type of person you are. On the other hand, if you spend some time conveying to the contractor what you want, what you like, what you don't like, and you're expressing it in the design that you have, or perhaps you're interviewing a designer and you've gone through some extra effort to convey your wants and wishes and dreams and set your expectations, and the contractor sees that you're actually spending the time doing that. Now, you know, a contractor is going, okay, these people care what it looks like, right? And they care that we're actually, perhaps they will put value on a company like ours that are established businesses with licenses and portfolios that can back what we say. But, you know, that's a big part of what a contractor is trying to figure out with a homeowner, and the homeowner should be aware. Because if you truly are looking for the cheapest price, don't call the companies that are the most reputable in your neighborhood. You're wasting their time, and they're going to be higher.
Definitely. We had this conversation last week, and one of the things that we talked about was, you know, how do you define, or for me, the most challenging thing is when I meet with a new client is, first of all, finding out whether the vision aligns with the work that we do. And I think through the pre-qualification process, you know, before I even go and meet a client, they actually will jump on a what's called a discovery call, pretty standard, and just ask basic questions. Have you ever worked with a designer before, and or a contractor? And just knowing, having a better understanding of that really allows me to, number one, first bit of information, if they say yes, well, then I know that they understand the process. They value the work that we do as designers, and they have an understanding of the journey. And so to me, when I meet a client that's gone down that path, I know that that's usually going to be a pretty successful project to work on. The answer is no, we've never worked with a designer. Then what turns on in my mind is I gotta educate. I have to try to educate the homeowner in a very humble and transparent way, not in an egocentric perspective, because a lot of times, a lot of us in the design profession are known to be quite egocentric. But I try to be as humble and transparent to the client, and just ask questions about, hey, first of all, what is the scope? What does the project entail? What is your timeline? You know, how soon do you want to get started on this project? Are you guys looking to do it right away? Is this something you're thinking about doing later on in the year? Those little questions, you know, will allow me to have a better understanding about the strengths of the project.
I totally get it. I think one of the things that homeowners need to realize, which you'll never be able to understand, is all the work that goes behind the scenes from a contractor's perspective. I mean, you see that those pictures in the magazines, but there is an entire team, 10, 20, 30 people maybe were involved in that project from one capacity to another. And this is what's happening really behind the scenes to pull these type of projects off. So you have to make sure as a homeowner that you are talking to the right people that have the resources to be able to achieve your expectations, you know, which kind of leads me into my next question. And this is going to be kind of a funky one because I called this segment Decoding the Client's Hidden Signals. And this is going to be fun because we're going to expose clients and we're going to talk about how this could have really affect and frankly undermine a project and undermine the relationship and undermine a homeowner without them even really realizing it, trying to find a qualified contractor. So here's a question for you. You know, a homeowner who is highly organized, you know, they might walk in with a stack, you know, 50 page, you know, dissertation on their project, which is a scope of work document. And now we're talking, now you're in your designer mode right now. Okay. You're not the builder. You're more the designer. We've always talked about be prepared as a homeowner, do your discovery steps and, you know, prepare as much as you possibly can with learning about what you want, what you and your partner want, your family wants, blah, 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 talk about the budget. But you can actually go a little bit too far with that. And I haven't talked about that much in the book, although I do have a phrase for that that I'll mention at the end of this question. But a homeowner walks in, well, it seems like it's preparation. To begin with, as a designer, whether you're an architect designing a building or a home or a landscape architect designing a garden or the surrounding areas of that home, what is a contractor's internal reaction when they see this level of detail? Is it kind of like a double-edged sword? And how is this homeowner, and here's the phrase, how could this homeowner be handcuffing their designer with an overly rigid plan?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've come across clients of all types. Some clients are very well prepared and they'll send me a Microsoft doc or a PDF file that's, you know, very well organized. As a designer, when I meet a client that has that level of preparation, first of all, I do get excited because I do value the work and the time they put into into creating this doc. And to me, it signals that they're ready. They really want to work on this project. Just a matter of finding the right designer or the right contractor that they feel aligns with their vision and values. And so on one end, you have this client who has these documents that is nicely prepared. On the polar opposite of that, it is maybe the client that is overly prepared, that maybe has a 43-page document, like the client, but like a client we recently got. And sometimes when I work with a client like that, I'm wondering if I'm merely being asked to draft a project. And there's a difference between being a designer and being a drafter. Being a designer, being hired on as a designer, it is putting the trust in that designer to take your ideas and create your vision. And when I'm able to work with clients like that, I'm excited because I have the freedom as a designer. We want to design. We want to be creative. We want to be able to create that beautiful vision that you have in mind for your landscape. But when I work with a client that has way too many constraints, I'm just, you know, I've learned from my experience. I will usually ask that client, do you want me to design the project exactly the way you've written it out in this document? So, and sometimes some of those clients will be like, yes. And sometimes some of those clients, they don't even know that what they're doing is essentially handcuffing the designer by creating such a rigid system of bullet points. And so that is really challenging and figuring it out. As a designer, if you don't ask that question, do you want me to design it exactly the same way you've regimented it in this document? You're going to find out when you present that project to that client, because they're going to say, hey, you didn't design it the way I told you to do so.
That's right. I mean, there's a couple things that come to mind, and I've dealt with this in the past before with remodel, you know, renovation projects, new home projects. There's two things that come to mind. Number one, if you are a homeowner and you are about to unleash a 43-page document on a designer or a contractor, you better be prepared to understand if that designer or contractor is qualified to interpret your plans. You know, because this takes a high level of attention to detail and interpretation, disseminating all that information to all the appropriate people, gathering it back in. And so if you're gonna hand a 43-page document to a landscape contractor that's got a 1990s era truck in the back with a hand-painted sign on it with no license number and expect to get the results and thinking that you're going to drive that contractor to get what you want, not you can't squeeze blood out of a turnip. And that's what's going to happen. And I think a lot of people, homeowners, frankly, think that they're going to be able to control the whole situation. And the first goal is to find the cheapest guy so they can control them. And that almost always leads to disaster, missed expectations, incomplete work, total dissatisfaction. And then the other thing that comes to mind is that you as a homeowner have got this rigid set of, you know, a design brief, if you will, with all of your details. And unless you are a professional architect, whether it's landscape or buildings, you're assuming all the liability for the quality of that design, the function of that design, the form and the function. So if you are going to handcuff your designer and ask them, in effect, regurgitate what you have created, you need to be prepared to take ownership of what you designed as a homeowner. Although keep in mind that you haven't done the hard part. You haven't actually interpreted that long list of documentation and bullet points of all the things you want and translated that into the creative process, which is the design planning part of it, whether you're drawing a home or drawing a garden, right? It's easy to list out, I want this plant, this plant, this plant, but how do you mix and mingle all those things together? So, you know, those are the kind of two things that pop into my mind. I mean, I would still like to see a lot of detail from a client. But like you said, having an understanding with a client early on and say, just like you said, it was perfect the way you said it. It's like, do you want me to just follow this verbatim, or are you just trying to give me some inspiration, some details, and you want to give me the freedom? Because, you know, honestly, you may not be interested in that project if they just want you to, you know, regurgitate what they have, because you have other clients behind them. They're looking for your creative talents to bring into their garden, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know what? I think that with that client archetype, I think that a lot of high value architects or contractors are going to maybe shy away from, honestly, because maybe let's just say, for example, if you are a person like a Bill Reed, Remodel West, who's built a great company, who has a backlog of clients, and the type of clients that you want to work with are knocking on your door. And you go and you meet with a potential client who has a high expectation, who wants to work with a high value architect or contractor, but has a very regimented system in place with, you know, with how they want it, how they want the project to be designed and installed. And whether that also, you know, trickles down into having multiple bids, you couple those two together, then I think that a lot of the high value contractors, architects are going to probably shy away from. I don't want homeowners or clients to think that it's because of egocentrism that a specific project is below us. It's not, honestly. We work on projects of all scales, and I always say this about Contexto, is that we are a yes company. We work with any kind of project, all sorts of projects, small to medium, large estate projects. But I think that when I do come across a client that has a document like that, it's challenging, right? Because I want, as a designer, like I said earlier, I want to be able to have the free rein to design portfolio winning projects that I can showcase on the website or on the social media account. And so maybe I may not be as excited to work on this particular client or project, and I may not be willing to put in the time and effort that I would go into this bid when I have another client that's the perfect client, right? Who's giving me the freedom to say, hey, Enrique, I have this wonderful project and I've heard great things about working with you. And I've seen the web presence, I've seen the social media, and I want you to take our ideas and create this vision. That to me is the ideal client. That's the kind of client I want to invest my time in. I will bend over backwards for that client. And so it's just weighing out these two different options.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that's perfect the way you said it, because I think people need to understand, homeowners need to understand that in an architect's career, a designer's career, even a contractor's career, you only have so many projects you're going to build in your career. And the bigger projects you do, the less there are of them. So people need to understand that it's not just about the money. It's not about getting more and more projects so they can feed this big production machine. As we evolve into our careers, as we mature and as we gain more wisdom, we're genuinely interested in the projects and the clients.
Of course,
right?
Yes.
And in the beginning, when you're scrambling, trying to get your business started, you got to get more, you get all that kind of stuff. But as you go through some of that process, people need to understand that we're truly interested in the project and the client. And that's why as homeowners, you just don't take it personally. And that's when you always hear the, well, we'll see if we're a good fit, kind of stuff. Well, that's kind of a real thing. So that kind of brings something up I want to mention. Have you ever felt like people are just trying to get ideas out of you as a designer?
Absolutely. 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 This happens a lot in the profession, especially when you go and meet clients for the first time, and you'll get a pretty good understanding of whether they are milking you for some ideas. I've had this conversation a lot with other designers, interior designers, architects, landscape designers. This is a topic of conversation that is common in our field, because ultimately, at the end of the day, our ideas is all we have as designers. You know, our whole business is built on our ideas. And so for us to be able to give all our ideas away is a challenge. One of the things I've learned along the way as I've grown in the profession is that you don't want to give all of your ideas away during a initial meeting with a homeowner. You want to be able to give enough ideas away to get them excited about the potential of working with you. Because the pitfall, and this has happened to me, the pitfall is that you overshare your ideas for this client, and you'll start looking out for certain keywords that the client might be divulging. Well, what do you think about this? Or what do you think? What would you do over here on this side? And so you don't want to overshare. I think just share just enough to get them excited, because you could fall into the pitfall of oversharing, and that client may be hiring another contractor or another designer to install your vision without you actually getting paid for it.
That's right. This is almost like a combination. So if you're a homeowner that is getting six bids, we'll call it, or entertaining six design proposals, the designer knows that, and you're asking multiple questions about the design ideas. And though that combination right there is kind of like the perfect storm of a horrible client, because they are looking to get the best ideas and get the cheapest contractor, right? Mm-hmm. This is, I know this is hard to take, everybody, but this is what's happening. And you just need to know that contractors, especially designers, think this way. Their ideas are their intellectual property. And like you said, it's not this big ego thing. It's just that if you've been in the business long enough, you know, you can spot a client a mile away that is just out there to get ideas, and you never hear from them again. So don't take it personally out there listening that if a contractor is not just fully transparent and fully forward with you of every single idea that they have, because they're kind of holding back to figure out how serious you are. And if you start to build a relationship with them and you start to feel good about each everybody feels good about each other, then those ideas will naturally surface. And that's actually how you'll be able to figure out, like, is this the kind of person I want to deal with? Meaning the homeowner to the contractor, the designer, and the designer back to the homeowner, right? So this is the opportunity to kind of build that synergy. But don't, whatever you do, don't be that client getting six bids and then getting all the ideas and trying to match the two extreme ends, the best ideas and the cheapest contractor, because that's where disaster just completely explodes. And then you have to look in the mirror and say, I screwed up. I shouldn't have gone for the low baller. I shouldn't have abused that person's time for their idea. So just be aware that that's what's going on. And if you truly want to attract a quality designer and respect, I think, the time, respect their knowledge, and build like a healthy relationship, because really we are in it for the long haul. I mean, some of the relationships I have with my clients are almost 30 years long. Right. Since I started my business. All right. I got another one for you. This is the budget. And we could probably have a whole nother episode on that, on this. So I guess we probably shouldn't take too much time. But just tell me a little bit, when you first meet a client, what is one of the first things? I think I know what's one of the first things that's kind of like looming around, you know, in the back of your mind. With a client, and I think it might be, can they afford it? Can they afford the job, right?
It's a difficult question to answer, and I've been thinking about this over the last week or so, because first of all, I think that a lot of clients come into a project guarding their budget, not wanting to overshare their budget with a contractor, and maybe it stems from hoping that they don't want to be taken advantage of, you know, because there are a lot of unlicensed, unscrupulous contractors out there. And you hear all these stories online and about homeowners getting taken advantage of. And I think that a lot of homeowners, they go into a project and very guarded, and it's as a designer contractor, design build, you know, when we're working with a client and we're vetting the client to see whether the project, the scope and the budget aligns with what they want to do. Going back to what you said earlier, you said, do I want a Mercedes-Benz on a Toyota budget? I think that a homeowner should have that conversation even before meeting with a designer or a contractor amongst themselves, whether you're single or you're in a relationship with your significant other, having that budget conversation. Hey, honey, how much should we allocate for this project? You know, having a realistic expectation of the cost of a project. Now, I also know that a lot of homeowners don't have access to numbers, because it's hard to really know what the cost of maybe artificial turf is or what is the cost of actually pergola. So those hard numbers you may not actually have available, but there's so much data on the internet now, honestly, that you can, especially with AI, you can go online and you can get pretty good measurement of cost to install projects. So there's a lot of great tools to get a better understanding of all that stuff. But having that conversation, even before you meet with a designer or contractor, and setting some kind of a budget, you don't have to divulge everything. You don't have to overshare. But even if you can just share like a range, you know, I'll usually ask a client, do you have a range of how much you'd be looking to spend on a project of this scale? Is it 20 to 30? Is it 40 to 50? Is it 60? Even just having like being able to share like somewhat of a range with a contractor or designer, it gives us enough to really estimate whether we're even in the ballpark, you know. And I think that's something that as a designer or contractor, is you want to have that conversation, because you also don't want to feel like, am I wasting my time as a contractor? Am I you know, shooting in the dark there? So what do you think? How would you handle this conversation, this question?
I'm going to answer that. Let me ask you this. How long does it take let's say it's a complex garden. I mean, it's a major, it's a 1 acre parcel with fountains and, you know, walk, whatever you do. I mean, how long does it take to get all the way through the design process, you know, from the day you meet with a client to where you can actually all stand back and look at a set of plans and say, I've seen some of the drawings and details you do, the renderings, the 3D. You know, when you can stand back and look and everybody says, this is really great, this is what I want. How long does that take for a more involved project?
Several weeks, definitely. From the time of inception, meeting with the homeowner, let's say they sign a contract, if they have a site plan, great. If they don't, that means my team goes out and measures measures the plan and, you know, gets the site conditions. And then from then on, we get to the fun stuff. We start doing the conceptual design. That usually takes about a week, week and a half. 3D modeling takes a little bit longer if you want to make it look really good. So from beginning to end, say from the time I meet a client to the time we present the first concept, you're probably looking at 2 to 3 weeks, maybe even 4 weeks, depending on the complexity of the project. And we like to be able to take our time and really think things through with the design, with the constraints of the site, what kind of code compliance is in place. And so we do our due diligence. The process for design takes quite a bit of time.
And in your case, which is great, that's why I have you on, one of the reasons I have you on today, you also do the construction aspect of it. And incidentally, it could be 3 or 4 weeks for landscape design. It could be 6 months to a year to design a home complete, ready to build, right?
Correct.
So landscaping is sounds like it's a little bit quicker path. But bottom line is it's an investment in time. But have you ever gone through the whole design process and then the client asks you, because you don't own, I mean, you will also just do design or just do construction, right?
Correct.
As I understand it. Mm-hmm. But have you ever completed your design and then, or taken somebody else's design, right? And provided a proposal to build the project and just completely blow them away on the price?
Yeah, that's actually happened before. I think it's happened to, I would say, even the most savvy advanced contractors that have been in the area. The thing about pricing is that I think what I've learned in the process is to just ask the question and not be afraid of asking the question. I think a lot of contractors are afraid to talk about money. And it's not something that designers are trained to do, or even contractors, or even just business owners. When you just start getting into the business, we're not trained to talk about money, but money is important to talk about. And so if you are not talking about money, whether priming them during the initial consultation about, hey, you know, a project of this scale based on projects that I've done in the past costs about this much. I think that if you miss that opportunity early on to set the expectation, you're going to have a really hard time hitting that number when you're presenting that final proposal bid. So I think priming that project is important.
All right, everybody. So listen to that, because what's going on here is, there's a few things that could be happening. One is that you as a homeowner don't understand what budget means versus investment. You know, Ricky spoke about, have you just thought about how much you want to put into this project? Forget about the project. Forget about the details of the project. How much money do you want to invest in your home, whether you're building a new home or building your new garden? And that goes to that private conversation that you have in the discovery stage of your project before you even pick up the phone and call anybody. You should have that set in your mind. And then when you go to invest tens of, you know, it could be landscaping design is less expensive than designing an entire house, of course, but it could be anywhere from $2,000 to $100,000 if you're building it, and even more sometimes for an estate home. You know, you're going to spend a tremendous amount of time, you as a homeowner, not to mention all the staff and the consultants are going to be spending their time. And you're going to be spending a lot of time and a lot of money. And it's this is a chronic problem in this business where, you know, you spend 4 months in landscaping design or 6 months in home design, and then you're excited, and then you get a number and it's like three times what you wanted to invest in the home, in the project. So we have to help guide the design team with how much you think you want to invest in your project. And like Enrique said, you know, you may not exactly know, but you know it's not $1 million and you know it's not $10,000. But you probably want to be in the range of $60,000 to $70,000 to redo your whole 1 acre garden or whatever. And as design professionals, they can take that information and they can be cognitive of that during the the design process so they can say, well, you know, a 40-foot tall fountain is probably going to blow you out of the water, blow your budget, you know. And now designers aren't necessarily taking full accountability for the budget, but at least they can guide you and say, well, let's not do that. Let's do this. Let's prioritize this. That's part of a designer's responsibility. But as a homeowner, if you don't empower the designer with a little bit of transparency on that, you're going to waste a lot of time and a lot of money. So, absolutely.
I want to share a client scenario with a project that we worked on recently. That's actually definitely wind up on our portfolio because definitely fits the type of projects that we like to work on. But this a particular client reached out to us and they said that they had just moving out of LA area into Rio Grande, and they shared that they had a significant budget. Look, Enrique, this is my budget for a project. You know, we have about $80,000 to spend on a project. We want to do this. We want to do a built-in fire pit, a seat wall, veggie boxes, new landscaping, new irrigation, new lighting. We want to give our front entry a complete remodel. We want to have some new walls with a new driveway. Okay, well, sounds good. Thank you for sharing. You know, well, based on everything that you've shared, yeah, you're sort of within the ballpark. I think this is an honest conversation that we're having. Yeah, you're within the ballpark, give or take. You know, we might be able to make a couple of tweaks. Are you open to maybe doing, you know, instead of doing pavers, maybe doing concrete, if it could maybe save you some money, provide the function that you need? So there's definitely a lot of knobs that we can turn even as we're designing the project, because we have an understanding of cost, right? So I think working with the designer, a design build company, especially because they have the presidents, right? They've worked on projects in the past. They have access to those numbers that they can design and come pretty close. And when they're actually bidding the project, they can make those tweaks or reach out to the client, you know, even before that final meeting, which I've done with the client. Hey, look, I've actually been running a couple of numbers and it looks like we're a little higher than that budget that you set in place. And it's not because, you know, we're wanting to go over the project, but it's because the cost of the material or the elements that you want and the time that goes into it and the quality that you want is pushing us over that budget. And depending on some homeowners are like, hey, we only have 80 to spend and that's it. Okay, that's fine. Then we're going to have to get creative about ways to save you some money, whether it's removing elements in the scope or whether it's reducing or replacing some of the materials with other things. However, there are clients that have a little bit of wiggle room where they'll be like, you know what, we're able to squeeze a little bit more because we really love that design element.
Yeah. And hear this, everybody. Enrique is talking about here is let's translate that into how you can qualify your prospective designer or contractor by asking the contractor those kind of questions. Tell me a little bit about how you help a client achieve their goals when it comes to money and budget. Can you tell me a little bit about the steps that you take, the questions that you ask? And listen for those answers, because a truly professional designer, again, landscape, architect, whatever, is genuinely interested in that. And if they're not, run, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, these are professionals that provide solutions, and the solutions isn't just, you know, blowing your budget. The part of the satisfaction in meeting your expectations is meeting your budget. So use that, like just like what Enrique shared with us, is if you can sense a little bit of passion, a little bit of excitement, a little bit of interest, even for the contractor or the architect to say, okay, I have some ideas. Let's do this and let's do that, but let's not do this and let's not do that. If you see some enthusiasm there, you want this person working for you, right? They're going to be looking out for you because they might say, let's not do that, but let's really invest in this. And that goes back to you 43-page document, people. Okay. Listen to your designer. Don't just cram it down their throat because they're going to shut down and deliver you an 8-inch thick concrete walkway when he really knows it only needs to be 4 inches, but you thought it would be stronger and you didn't know any better and you paid three times the amount to do it.
Yeah. That's one of the things I wanted to talk about earlier is that I think you, I think as a homeowner, you want to have a contractor or architect or designer who's excited about working with your project, who's actually very intrigued by the scope and the project and the timeline. And if you're able to share a little bit of budget, that makes him even more prepared to be able to service you the best way that he can. And so, yeah, so I really think that, yeah, getting somebody excited to work on a project, it's usually a win-win.
Yeah, and it's just sometimes it's just subtle things that you can pick up on as a homeowner. And that's what we're trying to do today, is help you learn about what's going through a contractor's mind. and how you can figure out if they're a right fit for you as a homeowner too. So it's a two-way street. Okay, we're getting close to wrapping this up. You know, I know that homeowners struggle with, well, okay, that's fine, but like, how do I know if a designer or a contractor is a high level, has a certain level of integrity, right? At least. Can you think of any subtle traits or observable, you know, little clues? It could be their presentation or their equipment. Or can you think of the things that maybe three or four things that a homeowner should be looking for in hiring a designer or a contractor, because in your case, you do both. Can you think of just some hot, I call them hot spots. You know, what should we look for in looking for a good contractor?
Great question, Bill. I think with today's technology, there's a lot of resources out there for homeowners to figure that out pretty quickly. And I think one of the very first that I think a lot of clients will look for too are Yelp and Google reviews, right? Does that specific architect or contractor have excellent reviews? And I think that shows, to me, reviews are a reflection of the quality, the integrity, and the craftsmanship of that particular architect or contractor, the way the community is rating that specific contractor. So I think that should be your number one place to go look. You know, what does the community say about this contractor? Obviously, if he's got great five-star reviews, ton of reviews, and that's definitely going to be somebody you'll definitely be interested in. The second thing too is we talked about this too, as designer contractors, we don't mind losing projects to other highly vetted architects or contractors who we would consider apples to apples, right? That are also, that have great reviews, that have a great reputation in town, that do quality work. And a lot of the times, some of the competitors in the area, we're great friends. We either went to college together, we've worked on projects together, or we jump on a call together to talk about projects and the industry and how we can all work together to level up the craftsmanship of the work in the area. So we don't mind losing projects to other like-minded professionals, but what we don't want to do is we want to lose projects to maybe unlicensed professionals or professionals who don't have great reviews. And that's probably when you start getting into maybe contractors who come in lower on a bid, right? Because they don't have the reputation. They're no longer getting the referral business, and maybe they're advertising a little more, you know, through paid advertisement to get themselves in front of the right type of clients. So I think that definitely would be a place to start. Look at the reviews. Also, check web presence. It doesn't take a lot these days to build a website, a quality website. And I think that having great web presence to be able to see an image of who you're working with, a bio of that company, the people that work there, the projects that they've worked on, the portfolio, and of course, social media, everything is tied in, right? Everything, all of those things are tied in. You know, do they have social media presence? Are they active on it? Are they showcasing work? Does the work align with your vision and the kind of company that you want to work with? Is it exciting? Is it fun? I think those three areas are definitely three key points you should be looking at.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think the review thing is definitely a debate, because, you know, of course, good reviews are helpful, but I think everybody has good reviews.
Sure.
It's just a matter of how many good reviews they have. And what I like to tell people is, okay, yeah, take a look at their reviews, but dig a little bit deeper. When you're talking with a perspective, and hopefully it's only two or three, not six, because otherwise you've just multiplied the amount of work you have to do as a homeowner. But those people that are getting six bids probably don't even do that. They're just looking for the cheapest price, sure. Right? But as a homeowner, there's a couple things you can do. When you're talking with them and you know that they've got reviews, that's probably why you called them in the first place, perhaps, or they got referred to you. But when you ask for referrals from past clients, but be a little strategic there and ask for referrals of people that are under construction right now. Ask for referrals from people that are in design right now. Ask for referrals from people that are just finishing their project. Ask for referrals from people that are just starting their project. Ask for referrals of jobs you could drive by and take a look, and just kind of peel back a few more layers of this referral thing. Because, you know, a company's been in business 20 years and they give you three names. Well, I think anybody can make three people happy. Right. Sure. So you know, you can kind of peel back more and more layers to figure out if this is a reputable person that you're dealing with. So we've talked a lot about, you know, all these different things. We're running out of time. But, you know, if you could give one final piece of advice to a homeowner who is about to select a designer or contractor, what is the one non-price factor they should absolutely prioritize to meet their expectations?
Are they good listeners? I think that are they listening? Are they good listeners? Do they fully understand your project? And do they have a genuine interest in working with you? I think it's a lot of the topics that we talked about today, Bill, is, you know, you definitely want to work with somebody who's excited about working with you on that project, because it is a long journey, and you want to work with somebody who has a positive mindset and that is really going to invest that time to go on that journey with you. So I would be very selective about working with somebody who really listens and values your ideas. Because the thing is, there's a lot of architects or contractors who want to just do it their way. And what I always tell our clients is that you're not hiring Contexto for us to do it our way. We want to go on a journey with you. We want to listen to your ideas. This is a collaboration. So we take the collaboration very serious along the way, from that early meeting throughout the design process. So I think working with a designer or a contractor who's very collaborative minded would be the best insight I can give you.
Well, I think that you hit that right on the head, because as a homeowner, what you can do is, you know, you've conveyed, whether it's through your design, through your verbalization, through your 43-page document, but you've conveyed everything that you want and wish and love and hope you can have to a prospective designer. Look at how the proposal's written that comes back to you to see if they've translated all of your ideas into something that you feel like they understand you and your project, and put value on that. Because what's going to happen, I know it's hard when you see somebody that's a little bit cheaper, but put value on the fact that you think that this person gets you, that they get that they get the project, and it's worth paying. Because you know what? I got to tell you, if you pay $5,000 more for a landscape design, but you feel like they really understand you, you're probably going to spend more than that if you select the other one that was cheaper, because they didn't think that was included, or they forgot to put this whole side yard in or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, so pay attention to that and prioritize that. All right. Well, anything else you got, Enrique Guzman?
Again, thank you so much for having me on this podcast. Again, I've enjoyed working with you, and all that knowledge that you've shared over the years is things that I've applied to my own business. And I hope that this podcast really shines a lot of light in the work that we do as professionals, the things that we think about as contractors or architects, that sort of the behind the scenes aspect of it. And moreover, just we want to be able to help you make better decisions in the future as you go on this journey for design and construction. Thank you, Bill, for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, everybody. Thanks for that, Enrique. If you happen to be in San Luis Obispo area, the Central Coast area, and you happen to need landscaping, and you happen to need designer, you happen to need a contractor, you can contact Enrique, which will be posted in the show notes. Other than that, everybody, I'm Bill Reed with the Awakened Homeowner. And remember, we are here to enlighten, empower, and protect you. So let's go get them. Thanks for tuning into the Awakened Homeowner. Remember, you've got the power to take control of your project from day one. If you're ready to dive deeper, grab the Awakened Homeowner book on Amazon. It's your roadmap to success. Join our community at theawakenedhomeowner.com and download our free story, The Tale of Two Homeowners. And here's something exciting. I'm developing an app called BuildQuest that's going to revolutionize how you plan and manage your project. Visit buildquest.co to become a founding member and test drive the app when it launches. Follow us on social media and hit that subscribe button. All the links are in the show notes and bio. Got questions? I'd love to hear from you. This is Bill Reed. You got this.